Well, good morning and welcome. It's great to have you with us this morning. Appreciate you connecting in on our videos again and sharing with us today. Before I start, I wanted to give a big shout out to our residents and carers up at Milperra House here in Warwick. It was fantastic to go and be able to spend some time with you the other week and just sit around and have a coffee and catch up and see how you're going. I know you miss not being able to come to church and we miss not having you here. So I just wanted to say g'day to you guys and wish you all the best. And we're praying for you and looking forward to when we get to see you again in person. But as we start this morning, I'm wanting to go back and explore over the last couple of years some of the journey that we've been on. Our vision as a church is to be a people empowered by God to impact our community. And with all the ups and downs and the ins and outs of life together over the last number of years, God has been leading us on this journey to discover what it means to follow Him and how we're to fulfill that vision, to be followers of Jesus in this community and what that looks like and what that means. So if you've been around our church at all in the last 5 or 6 years, you will remember things like our Thrive series, where we understood that God has called us not just to survive in our lives, but to thrive, to be faithful, to be successful, not in earthly or prosperity terms, but in the things that God has called us to do. That our lives are meant to represent more than just getting through every day. We've talked about things like front lines and being faithful to the places God has called us as we've understood what it means to be church gathered and church scattered. We gather on the weekends, we gather in small groups, we gather at various times, but we're scattered through the rest of the week as church because the church is not the buildings, the church is the people. We've talked about things like margins and making sure that we're leaving room in our lives, in every aspect of life, for the things that God might want to do with us. We worked through our Haggai and Nehemiah series as we looked at our building renovations and some of those sorts of things. In 2018, we talked about how God works in spite of us and uses our failures and our flaws to actually bring glory and honor to His name and to achieve the things that He wants to do around us. More recently, we've talked about what it means to walk with Jesus at God's speed, to slow down and to be observant to the things that God's doing as we live at a pace of life in a place that's stable, knowing who we are and building depth and intimacy into our communities and the people that we connect with. And then most recently, we've looked at a series based on Michael Frost's book, Surprise the World, and about living questionable and intriguing lives so that the people around us might be challenging us and to tell them about Jesus and what that means. And that's amongst a whole bunch of other things that we've looked at over the years. But through all of this, we've sought to learn and to grow what it means to be a church empowered by God. And what that means in relationship with God, growing in Him, being strengthened and open to His leading in our lives, both as gathered and scattered church. We've sought to learn what it means for that to be outworked through us into our community, living lives that express a whole life discipleship, that every aspect of our lives is something that God is wanting to use us and grow us in for His glory and for His honor, to achieve His purposes and His mission in our community. We've needed to learn about what it means in practical terms to grow in relationship with God, to build relationships with one another, and to share the hope and love of God into our community and those who are not part of our church yet. We've learned to live our lives at that pace that allows us to be observant to what God is doing, intimately involved in what He's doing, living intriguing and questionable lives that cause others to ask us why. Now, all of this comes together, I guess, in some ways, into what we're wanting to explore over the next few weeks and the coming months. Ultimately, it's what we're called to do in our community, in our place, and that is to follow Jesus. It's not just about walking with Him, it's about following Him. There's a whole heap of occasions in the Gospels, in the biographies of Jesus in the New Testament, where Jesus calls people to Himself, to follow Him. Now, some of those occasions are where Jesus called His disciples, the 12 men that were His closest friends who spent that 3 years traveling around with Him and learning from Him and witnessing all that He said and did. But at other times, it was Jesus calling anyone who was hanging around and listening and wanted to see what Jesus had to offer. He would call them to follow Him. Later on in the New Testament, in his writings, Paul particularly calls his leaders to follow Jesus, just as he did. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul encourages the people in the church at Corinth to follow his example as he follows the example of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul encourages us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children, that just as our kids seek to copy us, and sometimes that annoys the living daylights out of us, but they copy us and they want to be like us. Paul is saying just as loved children, we need to copy and imitate God and to follow him. And this call to follow Jesus is made to us. But what does it mean for us to follow Jesus? What does that involve? So over the next couple of months, we want to explore this question. What does it mean to follow Jesus, and how do we do that? So we're wanting to look in the coming weeks at what we're calling the practices of Jesus, that we would practice the practices of Jesus. What did Jesus do? And not just what did he do, but why did he do that? What was the importance and the significance of that? What's the purpose behind those things that he did? And how might we learn from that and seek to emulate him and become like him? Some of those practices are fairly obvious, I guess. Things like reading the Bible, praying, worship. But some are a little bit more obscure, things like looking at hospitality, looking at our attitude to the poor, to the oppressed, to injustice that happens around us, the challenge to give and to live generous lives. And we want to see how Jesus practiced these things, what he taught us in those things, and what he himself did as he practiced those, so that we might discover what we ought to do too. We're also wanting to look to see how one another engage in these practices, to learn from each other and what other people within our church family do as they practice these practices and what we can learn from them as well. So that's where we're heading over the coming weeks and months. But today I wanted to lay a little bit of a biblical foundation as to what do we mean when we say to follow Jesus. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive or a definitive explanation of all of this. It's really just a snapshot, just to help us to understand the direction we're heading as we engage with this topic of following Jesus. It's an opportunity to gain a basic understanding of what Scripture means when it talks about this. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through to 7, the Apostle John writes these words. He says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." See, John is giving us insight here into what it means to walk with, to follow Jesus. He says that if we're going to call ourselves Jesus followers, then we need to walk in the light and in the truth of what Jesus said. He says that that means that as we believe in Jesus' death on the cross and his blood shed for us, we then have holiness and forgiveness from sin. That results then in fellowship with God and with one another. John's telling us that one of the marks of following Jesus is walking in light, not in darkness. We walk in light by living out the truth of what Jesus teaches us. And that results in holiness before God, of being right before God. And when we believe in the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, we receive forgiveness and a restored relationship, or as John puts it, fellowship, both with God, but also with one another. So followers of Jesus are characterized by their relationship with God and their relationship with one another. See, by the forgiveness of their sin through faith in Jesus Christ, which results in us living out that truth that Jesus teaches us. Elsewhere in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, "If you hold my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So Jesus is saying that in order to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, one who learns from him, then we need to follow his teaching, to know that truth, because that truth then sets us free as we live our lives with him. A little bit further on in John 13, 35, when Jesus is telling his disciples about the new commandment to love one another, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. They will know you are my followers if you have love for one another. So to follow Jesus means to hold his teachings, to demonstrate love for one another, and to live our lives in such a way that we walk in the light of his teaching. So over the coming weeks and over the coming months, we want to explore what Jesus taught, what he did, and so that we can know the truth and then walk in the light of that truth, to live our lives according to the teachings of Jesus. But I want to say this morning, it's important to note that these things flow out of relationship we have with God through Jesus. They don't create that relationship. You see, our relationship with God is based on faith in Jesus Christ. And our good works, our walking in the light, our following of his teachings come out of that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, Paul writes these words. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast about it. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not because of the works we do. It's not because of our good deeds. It's not about how closely we follow the teachings of Jesus. Our relationship with God is based on grace through faith, believing in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And Paul goes on to say that we're his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Our good works are the result of our faith, not the other way around. Our good works flow from and emanate from, are the result of the relationship we have with God through faith in Christ. If we turn over to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 14, Paul here is talking to the followers of Jesus in the province of Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey. And while they'd started off well in the gospel and had accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, they'd fallen into the mistake of trying to earn their salvation, of trying to buy their way into good rapport with God through the things that they did. So Paul writes this letter in the book of Galatians to correct them and to help them to see how they should be living. They'd started out the right way, but had been lured into trying to keep the relationship with God on the basis of what they did in the ritual and in the law keeping. So Paul addresses them in this way. He says, "You foolish Galatians," this is chapter 3, verse 1, "you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard?" You see, Paul is encouraging them, saying, you learnt this to start with, and now you're trying to figure it all out on the basis of the works that you do. He goes on from verse 6 then to describe Abraham and how Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then how the law is only able to curse us because everyone who tries to fulfill the law can't do that. And so we end up in a place where we're cursed and fall short of God. But that Jesus redeems us through his own death in order that we, through faith, might have relationship with God and receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we don't seek to explore and to replicate these practices of Jesus in order that we might be in relationship with him. We want to learn about this because we already are in relationship with him. because of his love for us, because of his gift of eternal life, because of the forgiveness that we've received, because he has blessed us, we want to know him better and we want to please him in the way that we live our lives. You see, it's a lot like marriage. Now, Louise and I had the privilege of celebrating our 26th wedding anniversary just this last week. But it reminds me in all of this that my relationship with Louise, the things I do for her, the way that I seek to serve her, the way that I seek to love her, the way that I seek to demonstrate the good works in our relationship, to care for her and to nurture that relationship. I don't do those things in order to have a relationship with her. I do those things because I have a relationship with her. Our marriage relationship comes first, and then the service and the things that I do flow from that because I love her, because I want to please her, because I want her to be happy and to be honored and respected. I do the things I do because I'm in the relationship, not to get one. Back a number of years ago now, there was a movie that came out, Saving Private Ryan. And there's this one scene right towards the end of the movie. Now, I'm sorry, this is a spoiler alert. There's this one scene where Captain Miller, the character played by Tom Hanks, is mortally wounded and he's on a bridge at the end of a battle scene, and Matt Damon, who plays the young Private Ryan, is standing there engaging with Captain Miller at that moment as he's dying. And as in his final breaths, Captain Miller speaks up and says to the young Private Ryan, he says, "Earn this, earn this." The movie then morphs to the face of an old Mr. Ryan standing in the war cemetery at Normandy in front of Captain Miller's grave. And he asks the question in an emotional state of, you know, "Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've done something good with my life." Because he understood that while he couldn't earn his life, the sacrifice that he'd been made in order for him to live, his life had been saved by the sacrifice of Captain Miller. And so, in order to honor that sacrifice, that idea of living his life worthy of the sacrifice that had been made, to earn it in that sense of living up to and honoring the sacrifice that had been paid in order for him to have life. See, it's the same in our relationship with God. As we've received eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, there's this call on us to live our lives worthy of the sacrifice that's been made. That as Jesus has given his life for us, that we might then live our lives in such a way that we honor that sacrifice, that we live worthy of that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In fact, that sentiment is something that Paul encourages the followers of Jesus in the New Testament to do four times. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through to 11, Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Lord gives, so that you may live your life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience." You see, Paul encourages us to live lives that honor the sacrifice that Jesus has made. And so as we launch into this new season of teaching, I want to encourage you, firstly, to be a follower of Jesus, to put your trust in him and to accept the gift he gives of eternal life, of forgiveness, of restoration, to be restored into relationship with God on the basis of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now, that's a simple process. There's just three steps to doing that. And I want to spell that out for you so that if that's something you sense God leading you in this morning, you might be able to respond to him in that way. So the first thing we need to do is simply admit before God that we've done the wrong thing, that at times we've been selfish and independent, that we've done things our own way and with no regard for God. The Bible calls that sin. And so we need to acknowledge our sin, to admit to our sin and ask God for forgiveness. The second thing we need to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that his death was in our place, that he died for you. But you see, belief is more than just having an intellectual understanding. It's actually staking your future on that truth and putting yourself on the line because of that. An illustration of that would be to fly in a plane. Now, there aren't too many people flying anywhere at the moment because of COVID restrictions, but eventually one day we will get to do that again. But think about it. I can sit here and believe that a plane can fly to Europe. I can have all of the understanding of the aerodynamics and fuel and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that go into making a plane fly. I can understand all of that up here in my head. But until I actually get on the plane, until I actually strap myself to the seat and become part of that and allow it to hurtle through the sky at 1,000 kilometers an hour, I don't trust that. You see, the difference between a belief in my head and trusting in that is that I've actually put my life on the line. If this thing doesn't fly, if that pilot doesn't know what he's doing, if the engineers and the technicians that built that thing and designed that thing don't know what they're doing, then I'm in trouble. It's the same thing in our relationship with God, to trust that what Jesus has done for us has paid the penalty for our sin, that we have eternal life through him, not just understanding it up here in our minds, but understanding in our hearts and actually putting our lives, let's say our eternal future, on the line that what Jesus said is true. That's faith. So acknowledge our sin and admit that. Ask for forgiveness. Believe that Jesus died for us to pay for our sin, but more than that, to stake our eternal future on that claim. And thirdly, to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Lord of all creation, but also Lord of my life. That means I need to surrender control of my life to him, to live in a way that is worthy, that is honoring of him and his teaching and all he's asked us to do, to walk, as John says, in the light of his teaching, to surrender ourselves to him, that no longer would we do what we want and to live how we want to live, but to live how he would have us live. And we take these simple steps through prayer. That's simply talking to God and expressing these thoughts to him. We can do that right here, right now, right where you are, in your living room, in your lounge room, in front of your computer, wherever you happen to be right now. The opportunity is there for you to be able to take those three steps, to pray a prayer that accepts Jesus as Lord of your life. Let me lead you in that now. If that's something you sense God is calling you to do right now, then let me encourage you to pray along with me as we pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have his teaching to know how to live our lives. But more importantly than that, Lord, thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Father, today we acknowledge that we are sinners, that we have done things our own way, that we have tried to live our own lives, that we have not paid regard to you, and we've been selfish and independent. Father, we are sorry for our sins. We ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you would forgive those sins for us this morning as we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, that we stake our eternal future on that truth. And today we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, I ask that you come into our lives and take control, and we surrender to you in order that we might live in light of your truth and your teaching, that we would live lives worthy of all that we've received from you. We thank you for the eternal life that we receive. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that comes as we commit ourselves to you and ask for forgiveness. Thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in our lives. Father, we thank you that you've done that for us today, and we acknowledge that, and we thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If that's something that you've done this morning, if you've prayed along with us just now and have accepted and taken that step to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be a follower of Jesus, then please reach out and let us know. There's nothing more exciting for us than to know that that's what you've done today. So I'm going to leave the link to the church website and our contact details in the descriptions below. Please click on the link and send us through a message to let us know that that's what you've done. We'd love to be able to respond to you, to encourage you, to support you, to help you as you learn what it means to follow Jesus, just as we as a church are seeking to understand that more and more in the weeks ahead. If you don't have a Bible, then we'd love to be able to get one to you. And so we can help you with that. All you need to do is ask. So please take advantage of those links below and do that as we seek to encourage and support and learn to follow Jesus together, as we learn to practice the practices of Jesus in these weeks ahead. As we draw to a close, again, let me thank you for joining with us. Can I encourage you to click on the subscribe icon and the bell icon so that you are notified whenever we put up new videos. But we thank you for joining with us today. Let me pray God's blessing over us as we conclude our time together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the encouragement and for the challenge it is to submit ourselves and to practice the practices of Jesus, to learn what it means to walk in his light, in the light of his teaching, to follow in his footsteps, to do what Jesus did, but not just to do, but to understand why and to learn from him, that we might live our lives worthy of the gospel we've received, that, Father, our lives might be ones that demonstrate and show your love to those around us. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to share together today. May you bless us as we seek to follow Jesus this week. May you encourage us, support us, and uphold us. Lord, for those who have taken the step this morning of accepting Jesus and have prayed that prayer that we prayed a moment ago, Father, would you protect them? Would you watch over them? Would you encourage them? Would you support them we ask this day? Would you continue to grow them into the likeness of Jesus? May they learn what it means to follow Jesus also. And Father, we pray that they might be encouraged to reach out and to connect with us so that we might support and encourage them in their walk with you. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. Thanks again. We look forward to catching you next week as we join together in practicing the practices of Jesus. God bless you.